This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Being part of the LGBTQIA+ community is not one thing. Our community is so diverse and everyone has their own story. Being a Voice is a project from the Monash Gallery of Arts and the City of Monash that showcases the diverse voices of LGBTQIA+ young people who live, work and play in the City of Monash. Artists have been asked to submit a photo that shares their experience of being a part of the rainbow community, that really shares their voice. Artists may choose to speak about LGBTQIA+ rights and speak up in protest, speak about their experience coming out, or what it means to them to be part of the rainbow community. This is their story, their voice, their experience. The call out will result in an explosion of photographs across the Monash Gallery of Arts atrium gallery walls and will be accompanied by audio recordings from the artists themselves. One of the curators of the Being a Voice exhibition is Anushka Fizaklay. Anushka is the director of the Monash Gallery of Art. She has an incredible resume with a master's degree in both fine arts and commerce. She's held senior positions at the Heidi Museum of Modern Art and the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art, and has worked for many years in art research and valuations in galleries and auction houses in Melbourne and in London. Anushka will be joining me to chat about her passion for art and how an anonymous transphobic letter inspired her to create a space where rainbow youth could thrive with the Being a Voice exhibition. A bit later on, we'll be joined by Stuart James, who's the mayor for the City of Monash. Stuart will be joining us to chat about why the City of Monash backed the Being a Voice project and why he thinks it's so important to have incredible projects like this that really help to showcase and elevate the voices of the rainbow community. Anushka, Stuart, thank you so much for chatting to me today. Anushka, I want to start with you and find out a little bit about the person behind the Being a Voice exhibition. And I guess the best place to start is going way back. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Melbourne, actually not too far from MGA. Mm-hmm. I actually just hopped the border to be where I am today. But I started in a writing degree, overloaded to do visual arts, film and television, did my honours year, and then went, I need a bit more. So I went into my master's in London. And did fine and decorative arts. And then I realised that there was an opportunity to support the growth and development of organisations. And I went back to uni and did a Masters of Commerce, majored in accounting, did company director's course. But in amongst that, I was working. So I worked for both commercial and public galleries. I worked for ACCA, the Australian Centre of Contemporary Art in South Bank. I worked for Heidi Museum of Modern Art in Templestowe before coming to MGA to be their director.
Wow. A short resume.
Short resume.
God, so a lot of experience. And I mean, growing up, was there anyone in your life that you kind of saw, whether that was in your life, family, friends, or out in society, that you saw and kind of felt yourself represented, that you kind of looked up and went, great, I see myself in that person?
Not necessarily. You know, I'm a bisexual woman. And I think that in particular, in relation to this project, I really didn't see myself represented, you know, and when they were represented, when bisexual women were represented, they were either sexy vampires who were promiscuous or they were promiscuous characters or they were never main characters. And I think the closest thing I ever got, and don't judge me, but I'm a massive sci-fi fan.
Yep.
And I grew up on Buffy.
Okay.
And so in Buffy, there was a character who was straight and then because she was then attracted to a woman, was then gay. And you go, but hang on, you're in love with a man. Like, this is what was going through my head as a child. You're in love with a man and then you're in love with a woman and suddenly you're either straight or gay. It's like, hang on, there's way more things in between this. And I think over time, that spectrum of experience, whether it's your gender or sexuality, is beginning to be represented more and more so on TV, on movies, in books. I mean, we've got some amazing films coming out lately that actually delves into that. And the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, you know, really delves into that. But I think still there's a lack of representation, definitely from my experience, because that's how I identify with bisexual women. They're just aren't represented, and they're not represented in a way that gives them agency.
Yeah. You
know, and they're always the thing on the side or the thing that can't make up their mind.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing that we see with bisexual people. It's if you're a bisexual man, it's a bridge to being gay. And if you're a bisexual woman, you're just doing it for attention.
Correct.
Like that seems to be this message that's constantly around where it's like the amount of people that are bisexual is probably so much higher than what we know because it is a spectrum. You know, some people are down that end, some people are up that end, but it's, yeah. Wow. So I guess growing up not seeing that, that kind of, was that kind of the part of the drive behind the being a voice exhibition? Because I guess it's combining that you have that experience of not being represented and wanting younger generations to feel represented and then combining that with art. Was that kind of where the being a voice exhibition came from?
Actually, I realize now it probably is related to my experience and recognizing that. But actually, it came off a comment I had.
Yeah.
I actually got an anonymous letter one day sent to me, and it was because there was two trans people that were on the wall as part of the bonus prize. And I got a letter saying, you anonymous, saying you're promoting the transsexual agenda, essentially. Mm. And why are you promoting this to children? And it sat with me, and it sat with me for a long time. And it really, I mean, it angered me when I got it. And I went, oh my God, how does this still exist?
Yeah.
And because, you know, it's part of my community. Like you see it, like people are just people and you see everybody every day. But there is a subset of the community who don't acknowledge, respect, celebrate, you know, all those sorts of words that we wish would occur.
Yeah.
It's still really important to start addressing that. And it's addressing it just by perhaps providing an avenue for people to engage in the diversity of experience, whether that's race, religion, sexuality, gender, whatever it happens to be. It's really important for a public gallery to make sure that you're not only telling one story and that we have that diversity of experience from the people themselves. And I think that is where art is so powerful, because the makers are the people who it's representing and they're telling their own story. And so being a voice is always about having people's stories represented, both visual and through their story, because I think sometimes it's amazing to see a visual, but at the same time, to have their story being heard is even more powerful, because suddenly you get that, oh, there's way more here behind this image than you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And people don't, especially if they're not part of the community or they're not used to seeing these people represented, they might not even know how to read the image. And I think that's why it's so important to have the story that goes alongside it.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned about that letter. Obviously, that was one person's very negative reaction to it. But you also wonder how many people went in and saw those images and went, I'm seeing myself.
Correct.
And that would have been really beautiful. You know, it's, yeah. Wow. So it sounds like it's been a pretty big process. How has it been since kind of the birth of being a voice to where we are now about to open the exhibition?
It's been always a bit of a journey in any exhibition.
Yeah.
It's, are people going to submit?
Yeah.
Are the images going to be able to be displayed? How many will there be? Mm. How can I actually make these works sing on the wall and do justice to the story?
Mm.
How do we activate that even further and make the exhibition bigger? And so what I wanted to do was sort of put these works in conversation with another work, which is already in our collection. It's part of an exhibition we did a couple of years ago, and it's a work by David Rozetsky, who is a visual artist who uses both film and photography in his practice. And what he was actually commissioned to do was to go into the Monash community and explore the LGBTQI experience.
Right.
Through his lens. And so he did a 45-minute video and some still images, but we're going to be showing that 45-minute video, which is actually, weirdly enough, called Being Ourselves.
Right.
So it's quite a lovely little thing.
Perfect
little marriage.
Yeah.
And so that work is going to be screened. And there's also going to be the works from these younger artists around the walls as well in that space. And I'm converting a room into this, I guess, this film screening space.
Wow. And what's your reaction been to some of the submissions so far? Like, has it been reading the stories and seeing these images? What's that been like?
It's been really amazing. Mm. I think there's a couple of images in there. I'm going, wow, like these people, they're going to be on in our collection, on our walls in not too distant future. There's this sweep of images where it's two women and she's exploring their relationship and their sexuality together in this so beautiful, intimate sweep of, I think there's four or five, maybe even six images there. It's just this level of intimacy that I think a photographer and the sitter, they're together, if they've got that intimate relationship, there's this, like, you feel like you're looking, it's not voyeuristic, but you still feel a connection between these two people in a way that's actually, like, I looked at it, I went, oh, like my heart went up. And I think those are the types of, and speaking to the artists themselves, some of them did submit audio and others didn't feel comfortable doing it, or it wasn't their medium that they wanted to do, which is totally fine as well. You don't have to have your audio recorded. But even speaking to some of the artists, one of them, they just submitted the images and I'm thinking, how is this related to LGBTQI? So like I spoke to him and he goes, yeah, actually, this is my experience. I actually didn't want to write a statement because that's part of it. It's just my culture, my society. It's not spoken about and it feels like it's under the radar. It feels like I can't actually express who I am because that's what my culture actually does to my experience. And he said, that's why I didn't write anything, but let me think about it and I'll write something, and at least you can talk about it rather than necessarily having something written, but to just read into the images. So I thought that was really interesting. And in my experience, that's what often happens is when David was doing his commissioned piece, weirdly, some people actually wanted their photograph taken, but not to be filmed. And other people said, my family don't know, but I'm going to be on this film that's going to be there forever. And it was almost like that stance where they're going, I'm going to say it without saying it.
Yeah.
Like I'm, you know, I hate the term coming out, but, you know, I'm telling everybody who I am by the way I express myself and the way I talk about it, and to actually think about it in a way that isn't cursory, that this is actually really complex. Mm. There's not one story. And I think that was part of being a voice, was there's not one story. Everybody's story is going to be different. Of course, there's similarities. I mean, being ostracized from society in any way, shape or form by anybody is often part of the experience.
Yeah.
But the other side of it is just simply coming to terms with who you are. And we all go through that. Mm. We all go through that moment when we're a teenager, when we're an adult, where suddenly we're going, oh, actually, this is who I am. And it does take you like 20, 30 years to actually get to, regardless of if it's your sexuality or whatever it happens to be, like that is the thing that really is challenging for everybody. So there are those really symbiotic relationships between how we come to terms with things that we all sort of experience. And I think, again, it's how do you engage people in that experience in a way that they can also connect with? And I think, again, art is really powerful being able to do that because there's a way in to everything. And that's why I think this type of exhibition is so super important to do, because there's a way in.
Yeah.
And perhaps this might be the first way that people might engage with something that they may find challenging or confronting. Mm. And I think the thing is that you have to be able to break down that barrier, because that's what art can do. And I think that's why these types of things are so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, you've given us a little bit of an insight there with the film and some of those photos. But I guess if someone was thinking about going, what can they expect from the exhibition?
I think it's a way to get into works by really young emerging artists. Mm. I think that's fantastic. There's incredible talent coming through, really strong voices, really open and honest. Like if you listen to the audios, completely open, honest, like saying, this is my experience, this is where I've come from, this is what I've found challenging in coming to terms or, you know, becoming me. Mm. And I have gone through these moments, and some of them are saying, I'm still going through these moments. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out who I am. I'm still trying to figure out how to actually even speak about myself. Mm. How do I define myself? And I think the thing is, don't, you know, just be. Yeah. And it's that's why the title's so important, just being a voice. And it's your voice. Mm. That's what's powerful for me.
And it sounds like these young people just are so incredibly in touch with their own emotions and their own feelings. And I imagine that's going to be a pretty amazing experience for anyone to go and see, you know, the younger generations being able to be who they are. It's really beautiful.
And I think that's what's lacking often.
Yeah.
Is that there's no platform, or there hasn't been necessarily a platform maybe in the last 5-10 years. Mm. I think with the rise of many of the festivals, about whether it's Pride or whatever festival it happens to be, is the opportunity to just have a platform to speak about yourself, your experience, without there being some sort of barrier to entry. But also, I mean, I'm very cognizant of also not doing shows about being LGBTQI. Like, this is an exhibition about being LGBTQI, but we include, I mean, the arts are great in including everybody.
Yeah.
So this is just an exhibition with a thematic concern around it. Mm. But at the same time, we are always celebrating, acknowledging, showcasing the work of the LGBTQI community, mm. always. And I think that's another way to sort of go, well, actually, look at this artist. You know, these are great artists. Hopefully you can get something from their work.
That's wonderful.
Hey there, I'm Claudia Van Collenberg. I'm an 18-year-old photography student currently studying in South Melbourne, and this is my work for the Being a Voice exhibition. Identifying as LGBTQ+ myself, I find it so important to see LGBT representation in the media nowadays. And while we've come so far, I still think we have a long way to go in terms of getting our stories out there, being seen and being heard. So that's what I wanted to achieve in this series. I wanted to share my story and I wanted to share our story. So this is a series of my partner and myself. And what I wanted to reflect in this is not only the struggles that come with finding your identity, the insecurity and the wanting to hide, but also the happiness and the joy that comes towards the end of that journey and finding someone else to share that with, sharing that joined experience and how incredibly special that is to be able to have that together. And that love is just as worthy and important as any other love and deserves to be seen and heard just like every other love story. And I feel like I achieved that in my work. I'm really proud of it, and I hope that everyone can take something out of it, whether it's that or their own little inspiration. I want to be a voice for the younger generation, whether that's through my photography or me as a person.
Now, I want to welcome Stuart James, who is the mayor for the city of Monash. That is the correct title, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll do.
That'll
Sounds
do?
Sounds good.
Why Wonderful. Not? Well, look, I want to have a chat to you a bit around your support for the Being a Voice project. But I want to first hear a bit about you and your role at the City of Monash.
Yeah, I'm not good at talking about myself. And I've just been listening to Anushka and just overly impressed. And can I just say how lucky we are to have her at the City of Monash? She's absolutely fantastic and a great director at the Monash Gallery of Art. Me, elected in 2016 mm-hmm. as a councillor. I was mayor or became mayor at the end of 2019, just before the onset of the COVID pandemic, which was an interesting introduction to the role when that started hitting in March and how everything sort of changed within a couple of hours of finding out about it. Lucky enough to be re-elected as mayor in November last year. I'm thoroughly enjoying the role this time around, I suppose, getting out and meeting people and, yeah. and getting out into the community. But I suppose my role... to me anyway, my role is listening. Mm. And I think sometimes politicians don't do enough of that. We get a lot of advice from officers, and state and federals will be the same. We get a lot of advice from bureaucrats. But I think we forget that our role is really to listen to the community and to input their feelings and thoughts into the policy and the changes that we make on council. And I think sometimes we're guilty of perhaps listening to the loud minority. And not necessarily, and even sometimes a loud majority, rather than perhaps representing the little guys, the guys that probably don't get the sort of attention. And that's sort of why my role, particularly in the LGBTIQA+ area, I find really important. I've got and I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, I'm sure she won't, but I've got a 21-year-old daughter who identifies as part of the community. Mm-hmm. And I really lean on her sometimes for some of the ideas or where we're going. I thought it was really interesting when Anushka mentioned earlier about the anonymous letter that she got complaining. And that sort of stuff really bugs me. It really, really does. Because if people have those thoughts and views, well, they should put their name on it. Because, you know, then we can reach out to them and have a discussion with them and have a chat to them. Because they're the attitudes and the things that we need to start changing in society. And I think a lot of the work that we're doing in the LGBTIQA plus community over the last 10 years, where the festivals are coming on, all that sort of stuff, is normalizing it and giving people a sense of belonging and dealing with those attitudes that are, that perhaps belong in the 70s and 80s. And it's not just in this community either. It's also in gender and race. And, you know, we're doing so much work, but it makes it so hard when people are just going to be misogynistic or sexist in random letters. So that's a long-winded answer to who I am and what I do.
No, it's great. And it sounds, you know, you've told mentioned a bit about your kind of connection to the community with your daughter. I mean, specifically, why did the city of Monash think it was so important to get behind this, you know, this wonderful project?
Yeah, well, we've got a history in the city of Monash of really dealing with diversity, and we often trot out the line that almost 50% of our residents were born overseas. So it's not just the LGBTIQA plus community, but it's a big diverse community across race and culture as well across the city of Monash. The Victorian Pride Lobby wrote to all councillors, all candidates for council elections in 2020, just saying, if you're going to be elected, will you support these things? And there are a number of things on there, establishing an advisory committee, formulating an action plan, and rainbow tick accreditation. And I sort of was confronted by that because I thought, well, why aren't we doing this already? And it was really good to get that in. So the first motion I put up when I got onto council or re-elected to council was to put that up to establish that. Really proud that we've got our advisory committee. It's been set up for about 12 months now. We met last week for the first time in person since the COVID pandemic started. So that was fantastic. But it's really... that's what we need. As not being someone that's entrenched in the community, I've got my daughter there, but now to have a whole committee going through and telling us what we need to do. And these sort of events are really part of that as well. Mm. We had our Pride Night also at the Monash Aquatic Centre last week, which was absolutely hugely successful.
Yeah.
Huge amount of kids. We actually had, I reckon, way more kids than adults, which is really good. And we had a mum that came up to us and said, she was in tears. And she says, I'm so excited that you had this event. I've got a young daughter who identifies as trans. She goes to school and people don't get her. She doesn't feel like she fits in. And these are sort of ways to normalise it and to meet with those other kids. So that's what I really think is really important. And the things that we don't see that are happening behind the scenes that really make everything worthwhile. And I'm really, really proud that at the end of this year, we're going to have our action plan, hopefully November, December, an action plan for the LGBTIQA plus community in Monash. And we're also the very, very first council to heading towards rainbow tick accreditation, which is massive.
Yeah.
Really massive. And when we look, when we passed the resolution, we sat down to look at it and we looked at what was involved. We thought, gee, this is going to take us a long time. So it's a massive shift, especially when we've got a massive organisation of 1,500 employees, covering everything from you know, people that dig up drains to people that are working at aquatic centres. Like, it's a big, massive, diverse organisation itself. So to go down that path is massive, and I'm really proud of the team for going there. And thank you to the Victorian Pride Lobby for bringing it to the attention, because that's what we need.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, it sounds like City of Monash are doing amazing things between that swim night where you said there were a lot of young people, and now being a voice representing young people. This is the future. You know, it's helping to not only provide a safe space where these people can be themselves, but it's educating those around them and allowing a space for them to thrive. So it's really beautiful. And I know you mentioned stuff around stuff that the City of Monash are doing for the rainbow community. Are there any other projects that the City of Monash are doing to kind of help support underrepresented communities outside of the rainbow community?
We do lots of projects all the way along. We have a lot of multicultural, in particular, as I said before, we're 50% born overseas, which is just, that's phenomenal.
Yeah,
like, we're not talking about 50% that talk a language or identify. They're actually born outside Australia. Like, that is just a phenomenal statistic.
Yeah.
Of course, we've got Monash University that comes in there, so there's a lot of international students that fit in to bump those numbers up, I suppose. But we're doing a lot of across all sorts of marginalised communities, if you like. This to me, as I said, is close to my heart because my daughter identifies with the community. And I think too, I know they've got a couple of friends also that are in the space, and they, I think, have said to me, gee, it's good to think that now we're part of the community rather than being isolated and off to the side and the people that no one talks about, and, you know, out of sight, out of mind sort of attitude perhaps this country's had for such a long time. And I think particularly talking to my daughter, I think this is what's really good about the younger generations coming through, is that the older generations, and I don't want to stigmatise people in making these comments, but certainly the baby boomers, even parts of my generation, people were... Well, they're Asian and they're gay and lesbian and they're women and it was all and all that sort of the, like even the jokes at the pubs about it was just normalised. It was part of growing up. But when I talk to my daughter, she doesn't her and her friends and everyone at uni, everyone just goes, well, be whoever you want to be. I don't really care. What's it got to do with me? And I think that's a fantastic attitude because in my view, if you're not hurting anyone else, do whatever you want. You know, who am I to judge what someone else wants to do? Yeah. And I think we're really getting that in younger generations. And if we can, the more that we can promote members of the LGBTIQA plus and the stuff that they do, including the works that we're going to display here, the more we normalise that and the more we break down those barriers. And hopefully we don't get any anonymous letters. We get people saying, this is my name, come and talk to me.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Well, look, what are you looking forward to most about the Being a Voice exhibition?
Well, I think it's just that. I think it's just seeing, giving people a voice, but also seeing how people express themselves. Because I think it's, I mean, I'm not an artist. I'm not really even good at stick figures. And, you know, that's not really a challenge to a stick figure. But at every exhibition that I go to, when it's a themed exhibition, it's always about just seeing how different people visualize or encapsulate what they're feeling and what they're thinking, because you can get two people you go down to have a beer with or a cup of coffee with, and you go, these two guys are absolutely identical, but then they show them works and they're polar opposite. I think it's really it's quite amazing that we have outward personalities or people that we or personas, if you like, that we like to show to people. But what's good about artistic work is that it's what's inside you. And you can't put up a face and pretend to be someone else, because it just doesn't work on the canvas or the photo or whatever it is. So I don't think it's just going to be great to see people expressing who they are and having a voice.
Wonderful. Well, Anushka Fizikle, curator of the Being a Voice exhibition at the Monash Gallery of Art and Mayor of the City of Monash, Stuart James, thank you so much for chatting to me today. Now, if you want to view the Being a Voice exhibition, the exhibition opens on May 13 and runs until August 1st at the Monash Gallery of Art. You can find out more information by visiting beingavoice.mga.org.au. This podcast was produced by Joy Media, Australia's rainbow community media organisation. For more information on Joy's podcasting services, visit joy.org.au/services.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.